on the head.
Welcome to the Lusaka Radio main news. In the headlines, the Socialist Party SP, Copper Belt Provincial Spokesperson Regan Kashinga, says the recent riots by informal small-scale miners in Chingola over denied access to the controversial Senseli open pit mine highlight a leadership crisis within the UPND government. A police officer in Sulawesi District has allegedly shot and killed his wife and brother-in-law before taking his own what is believed to have been a domestic dispute. In international news, Pakistan has sentenced to prison 108 members of jailed ex-Prime Minister Imran Khan's party for their involvement in protests against the military in 2023.
9 words of the news. All day, every day.
And now with the details, my name is Terence Makondo. The Socialist Party SP, Copper Belt Provincial Spokesperson Regan Kashinga, says the recent riots by informal small-scale miners in Chingola over denied access to the controversial Senseli open pit mine highlight a leadership crisis within the UPND government. Kashinga criticized the government's handling of the Senseli mine issue, citing contradictions between the Commerce Minister and Chingola Member of Parliament Chipoka Mulenga and Mines Minister Paul Kabuswe. He has argued that the government to resolve the matter through dialogue with the informal miners, warning that continued unrest in Chingola poses a serious threat to public order. He adds that the lack of a coherent and empathetic approach from the government has left many young people in Chingola feeling frustrated and ignored. According to police reports, one civilian died during the unrest. Several shops were looted, vehicles damaged, and 79 individuals have been arrested in connection with the riot.
977 News.
The silence on cases involving government officials for alleged corrupt practices is a source of concern and speaks as to whether the UPND government is committed to the fight against corruption, Democratic Union DU President Akim Anthony Njovu has said. Four cabinet ministers were last year reportedly under investigation by the Drug Enforcement Commission, DEC, but no updates have been given thus far. And Njovu has challenged investigative wings to inform the public about the findings of the investigations. He says the silence on the matter brings about speculations and a sign that President Hakainde Hichilema's administration isn't serious in addressing the vice. The opposition leader saying doing so would entail accountability and transparency in the corruption fight by the UPND government.
The major challenge that we face in the corruption fight is the lack of independence of law enforcement agencies. Because most of these cases, I think, that are investigation are still being driven from State House. So we need that independence. We just don't need empty statements, empty commitments, but we need action and demonstration of the fight of corruption. So in the case of the four ministers that we are talking about, these four ministers were supposed to be named and suspended so that they pave way for investigations, for independent investigations, because if they are still serving, then they would be able to interfere with investigations. So that's the biggest challenge that we have, the lack of independence of these law enforcement agencies. So this is what we need to fight for, not only as Democratic Union, but as a country. We need to fight for the independence of these law enforcement agencies.
977 News.
government has called for patience among parties involved in the alleged eviction of approximately 10,000 people from a portion of traditional land in Mulovezi constituency. Lands and Natural Resources Minister Sylvia Masiho says the matter needs a balanced approach that upholds the law, protects the lives of all parties, and promotes sustainable economic development. Masiho assured that the government will ensure a fair, transparent, and mutually beneficial resolution. In a ministerial statement to the National Assembly, she said there is a need for continued dialogue and adherence to due process in resolving the issue. Masiho reiterated the government's commitment to protecting the lives of local communities while fostering an environment conducive to responsible investment that contributes to national development. She noted that the government is aware of the presence of various institutions on the land, including police posts, primary and secondary schools, a railway line, a market, and churches, among others.
977 News.
A police officer in Sulawesi District has allegedly shot and killed his wife and brother-in-law before taking his own in what is believed to have been a domestic dispute. The incident is believed to have occurred around 04 hours after the officer checked in at Sulawesi Police Station, collected a pistol claiming he was heading for duty in Kalumbila, but instead confronted his wife at home. It is alleged that an argument ensued, during which he fatally shot his wife and her brother, who was visiting. The officer then allegedly turned the weapon on himself. The victims have been identified as Womba Samulozela, the officer's wife, and Wana Samulozela, a medical officer. The identity of the police officer has not yet been officially disclosed.
977 News.
The Zambia NGO WASH Forum coordinator, Bubala Muyovwe Mumba, has cautioned forum members to familiarize themselves with the provisions of the Cybersecurity and Cybercrimes Act to avoid unintentionally breaking the law. Mumba was speaking during a learning engagement held in Siyavonga District, Southern Province. She emphasized that ignorance of the new regulatory framework could expose organizations to legal risks. Mumba highlighted how vague definitions and increased surveillance powers may impact NGO operations, especially smaller ones. She urged civil society to prioritize legal literacy, digital safety, and collective advocacy.
Our online advocacy, data and communications, the very tools we use to report on conditions and champion public health, could be misinterpreted, exposing our organizations to severe penalties. The intersection of these two legal shifts is our primary concern, and together they risk shrinking the civic space, promoting self-censorship, and undermining the independent oversight that is essential to our mission. Our ability to advocate for the public's right to clean water and safe sanitation depends on our legal environment that enables rather than constrains our work. To help us navigate this new landscape, we have been joined by legal and policy experts whose insights will be invaluable. I encourage you all to engage in an open and honest dialogue, to ask critical questions, and to reflect on how these laws will impact your respective organizations and the people you represent. Together, let us use this opportunity to build a shared understanding that fosters legal confidence, digital responsibility,